3, verses 1 to 7, I believe, of chapter 15. Chapter 15, we want to read verses 1 to 7.
Jag ska läsa vers 1-7 i kapitel 15. Efter att detta hade hänt kom Herrens ord till Abraham i ett syn. Var inte rädd, Abraham. Jag är ditt skjold. Lönnen din ska bli stor. Men Abraham svarte: Herre min Gud, vad vill du ge mig? Jag går ju barnlös bort och Eliezer från Damaskus är arving till mitt hus. Och Abraham sa: Du har inte gett mig efterkommare. Se, en av husfolken mina ska ärva mig. Då kom Herrens ord till honom. Han ska inte ärva dig, men en av ditt eget kött och blod ska ärva dig. Så förde han Abraham ut och sa till honom: Se upp mot himlen och täll stjärnorna om du kan tälla dem. Och han sa: Så talrik ska ätten din bli. Abraham trodde Herren, och det blev regnet han till rättfärdighet. Och han sa till honom: Jag är Herren som förde dig ut från Ur i Kaldea för att ge dig detta land i arv.
He brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees in order to possess the land.
Han förde han ut av Ur i Kaldea för att han skulle äga landet.
And here Abraham, having stood the test.
Och här har Abraham bestått prövan.
A tremendous temptation for a great cattleman and sheepherder and a man wealthy with gold and silver.
En enorm frestelse för en man som drev med kvägdrift och var rik på guld och silver.
To make another 20 million.
Så kunde tjäna, fick anledning att tjäna 20 miljoner till.
Euros.
Euro.
He stood the test.
Han bestod prövan.
And God revealed himself to him as his very great reward.
Och Gud uppenbarade sig för honom som hans stora belöning.
Now, Bible translators aren't entirely sure which one of the two ways we should translate this verse.
Bibelöversättarna är inte helt säkra på kallar av de två möjligheterna man ska välja när man ska översätta detta vers.
I am a shield to you, your reward shall be very great.
Jag är ett skjold för dig och din belöning ska bli stor.
That seems to be supported by the context.
Det ser ut att stötta av kontext av sammanhängen.
Because when Abram begins to think of a reward, he thinks, well, who would I pass this on to? I have no heir.
För när Abraham ser på den belöningen så kan ska ge detta vidare, jag har ju inte någon arving.
Or is God saying, I am a shield to you?
Säger Gud, jag är ett skjold för dig.
Number one.
Nummer en.
And number two, your very great reward.
Och jag är för det andra din stora lön.
Here we are again.
Här är vi igen.
Would you rather have steak or shrimp?
Vill du helst ha biff eller vill du ha räkor?
Why do I have to choose?
Varför måste jag välja?
You see, he had a chance to make millions.
Han hade chansen att tjäna miljoner.
But wanted to be faithful to God and wanted to make sure everybody knew he took nothing from a man like the king of Sodom.
Han ville vara trofast mot Gud och han ville att alla skulle veta att han inte tog emot en enaste ting från en man som kungen i Sodoma.
He had documented very clearly that people had become more important to him than possessions.
Han dokumenterade helt klart att folk var blivit viktigare för han än eiendelar.
He wanted the lives, not the livestock.
Han ville ha livena och inte budskapen.
And so his reward would be very great.
Så belöningen han skulle vara stor.
Isn't that a wonderful thought?
Är inte det en flott tanke?
Many people have lost houses.
Många folk har mist hus.
I know a man who lost his farm. He was to inherit the farm.
Jag känner en man som skulle ärva en gård.
His parents couldn't stand it that their son was becoming Protestant.
Men föräldrarna de kunde inte tåla att sonen deras blev protestant.
And they went to the notary and they disinherited him and his brother got the farm.
Till sonen skriver han och gjorde han arvelöse och brodern ärver gården.
Another one, son had worked very hard in the business of his father and he was a master cabinet maker.
En annan son hade arbetat våldsamt hårt förrättningen till faren, han var en mästare möbelsnickare.
With a huge firm.
Med ett stort firma.
His parents says, if you don't leave this church,
så säger föräldrarna, hvis ikke du forlater den,
we're going to disinherit you.
Så gjør vi deg arveløs.
He remained faithful to the Lord.
Han forblei trofast mot
Herren. And now he works for another man.
Og nå arbeider han for en annen mann.
Instead of having other people working for him.
I stedet for at andre folk jobber for ham.
Well, what did Jesus say?
Men hva sa Jesus?
He said, your reward will be very great.
Jo, han sier at lønnen kjempestor.
None of you have left family or houses or lands.
Ingen av dere har forlatt familier eller hus eller jord.
In this life.
I dette livet.
Who will not receive a hundredfold in the life to come.
Ingen av dere sitter skal få 100 ganger igjen i livet som kommer.
God is a debtor to no man.
Gud blir ikke noen skyldig.
God is not a what do you call it, geizig.
Gud er ikke gjerrig.
Yeah, what's that in English?
I don't know.
He's not greedy, no, he's not he's not a skin flint. You know, I know people, you know, on our penny is Abraham Lincoln.
Okay?
And they squeeze that penny until Abraham Lincoln squeaks. God's not that way. He's the giver of every good gift. He, your reward, brother, sister, will be very great.
Men Gud er all god gaves giver. Din lønn, bror og søster, skal være stor.
If you fear God and you live for the coming city.
Hvis du frykter Gud og lever for den kommende byen.
But on the other hand.
Men på den andre siden.
I am your shield, your protection.
Så er jeg ditt skjold, din beskyttelse.
And your very great reward.
Og din store lønn.
What would it be like to come to heaven?
Hva vil det være? Hvordan vil det være å komme til himmel?
Driving with your 6-speed down golden streets. Power shifting around the corner. The gold is like glass, man. Elias, they have wonderful sofas there. They don't have beds because we won't sleep.
So,
fantastic pearly gates and golden streets. You ask an angel, hey, where's the Lord? An angel says, he ain't here. You know, I think that golden streets and pearly gates would get old even after a while.
Jeg tror det at gullgater og perleporter kommer til å bli gamle.
Without God.
Uten Gud.
And imagine singing, you know, for hundreds of years.
Og forestill deg å synge i hundrevis av år.
Without God in the church.
Uten at Gud er i menigheten.
That's like an eternal Catholic mass.
Det er som en evig katolsk messe.
No. It's not just that our reward will be very great.
Det er ikke bare det at vår lønn skal bli stor.
He is our reward.
Han er vår lønn.
Remember an old song? It's one of these camp songs, you know. It's not a hymn, you know. It's sort of a song Christians sing to get worked up.
En tim på en av disse sangerne som kristne synger rundt på leir. Salmer.
Take the world.
Sier, ta verden.
But give me Jesus.
Men gi meg Jesus.
Isn't that speaks to my heart.
Det taler til mitt hjerte.
I am your shield. I'm your protection. I'm your very great reward.
Jeg er ditt skjold, din beskyttelse, og jeg er din store lønn.
And Abraham looked over his glasses.
Og Abraham han kikket over brillene sine.
I know that, Lord.
Jeg vet det, Herre.
But you know, what's more money mean if I hadn't got an heir?
Men hva betyr mer penger hvis jeg ikke har noen arving?
You know, Lord, don't you know, according to the law of the land, my steward gets everything that I own when I die.
Vet du ikke, Herre, at etter landets lov så kommer tjeneren min til å få alt når jeg dør?
It's great to have great rewards, but what about my future?
Flott og store belønninger, men hva med framtiden min?
And here we are again by our theme, aren't we? Possessions and life.
Og her er vi igjen tilbake til tema eiendel og liv.
And so God tells him, you know, from your very own body, there's going to come a man.
Gud sier at ifra en voldsom gammel kropp så skal det komme en mann.
Yeah, how old is this guy? He's past 75 years.
Hur gammal är den här mannen här? Han är över 75 år.
From my body, it's going to come a man.
Så ska det komma en man ifrån hans kropp.
He's going to be your heir. And so he took him outside and shows him the stars.
Och så tar han med ut och visar hans stjärnor.
And he says, so shall your descendant be. Now please don't play astronomy with God. Don't play astronomy with God.
Astronomi med Gud.
They are approximately 100 billion galaxies of maybe 100 billion stars each. But with your naked eye, you can differentiate about 3,000.
Men med nakna ögon så kan du se cirka 3,000.
He was seeing, you know, he was seeing the Milky Way.
Han såg Mälkevägen.
And then these differentiated stars, and some of them, if you look straight at them, you can't see them. But if you look to the side of them, you can see them, you know. And if you counted them all.
Och så såg han på någon av dem, kunde se det någon av dem, måste se det sist för att se.
There'd be about 3,000.
Och så tältet alldeles ville vara cirka 3,000.
But have you ever tried to count them? You get started over here and you get messed up and there's just too many to count.
För du börjar i ett hjörna så blir det går du vilt, det är för många till att tälja.
That's what God says.
Och det är det Gud säger.
This is going to be so big, Abraham.
Det är inte så stort, Abraham.
It's impossible for you to count or to fathom what's going to happen through you.
Det är omöjligt för dig att tälja eller förstå vad som kommer att ske genom dig.
So shall your descendants be, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness.
Och så står det att Abraham trodde Gud och Gud tillräknade det som rättfärdighet.
Now this is the central verse.
Det är det centrala verset.
Of the Protestant Reformation.
I den protestantiska reformationen.
How does a person become righteous before God?
Hur blir ett människa rättfärdig framför Gud?
Well, the Catholic Church would have said that Christ has achieved a whole lot of merit by God by his work on the cross and his goodness.
Och den katolska kyrkan ville säga att Kristus har uppnått en mängd gunst i Gud med sitt verk på.
And the saints have much merit and grace because of the lives they live and the sacrifices they made.
Och helgonen har gjort det samma med sina liv och sina offer.
So I need to believe in the Lord.
Så jag måste tro på Herren.
But I need to merit the merit of Christ.
Men så måste jag vinna det som Kristus har vunnit.
Justified by faith alone without works? Are you crazy? Now this is the truth that energized and revolutionized Martin Luther's life.
Detta är den sanningen som gav energi och revolutionerade Martin Luthers liv.
He was a man very aware of his sins.
Han var en man som var våldsamt klar över syndernas.
He had fasted and prayed and begged God for forgiveness.
Han hade fastat, bett och tryggla Gud om tillgivelse.
He tried to do better.
Han prövade att göra det bättre.
And one day he discovered the verse in Romans 1, but the just shall live by faith.
Och så upptäckte han vers i Romarbrevet 1 en dag att den rättfärdige ska leva vid tro.
And then he discovered the verse, and Abraham believed God.
Och så upptäckte han verset och Abraham trodde Gud.
And it was righteous, reckoned to him as righteousness. What was reckoned to him?
Och det blev tillräknat som rättfärdighet. Vad blev tillräknat?
Let's go back to the book of Romans.
Låt oss gå till Romarbrevet.
The background, Romans is the background of every major revival among the people of God since the apostles themselves.
Romarbrevet är bakgrunden för alla stora väckelser ibland Guds folk i aposteltiden.
In chapter 1, chapter 4,
i kapitel 4,
we're talking about how a man is justified, chapter 3, verse 28, by faith apart from the works of the law.
Och i vers 28 så står det att vi hävdar att människor blir rättfärdiga vid tro utan lovgärningar.
So Paul has reasoned this in many synagogues.
Så Paulus har argumenterat för detta i många synagoger.
So here in Romans, he will address different questions And he will ask rhetorical questions that have been posed by rabbis in the synagogues.
Och i Romarbrevet så vill han ställa olika retoriska frågor som han har fått ifrån rabbier i synagogorna.
What about this principle justified by God apart from the works of the law by faith?
Kommer det här principen att vara rättfärdiggjort av Gud vid tro utan lovgärningar?
For one, let's read the Old Testament. What happened in the case of Abraham?
Låt läsa det gamla testamentet i 4:1. Vad skedde med Abraham egentligen?
For if Abraham was justified by the works, he can boast before God. Both, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness.
For vad säger skriften? Abraham trodde Gud, och därför regnet Gud han som rättfärdig, eller det blev tillregnet han som rättfärdighet.
It.
Det.
What is it?
Vad är det?
Now some theologians would say, and Christian teachers, the righteousness of Christ was reckoned to him.
Någon kristna lärare vill säga att Kristi rättfärdighet blev
tillräckligt. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible.
Vi finner inte det någon plats i Bibeln.
I do know that is of God we are in Christ Jesus, who is our sanctification, our righteousness, our wisdom.
Vi vet att det är av Gud att vi är i Kristus Jesus och han är visdom, helgörelse, rättfärdiggörelse och visdom.
It's not that God takes the righteousness of Christ and he sees me in Christ.
Det är inte det att Gud tar Kristi rättfärdighet och ser han mig i Kristus.
No, God sees my faith.
Nej, Gud ser troen mig.
And he reckons my faith as righteousness.
Och så räknar han min tro som rättfärdighet.
Read verse 5 and 6.
Verse
4 and 5, I'm sorry.
Verse 4 och 5. Den som har gärningar att visa till får lön efter förtjänste, icke av nåde. Men den som icke har det, men som tror på han som rättfärdiggör den ugudlige, blir regnet som rättfärdig för det han tror.
Faith.
Tro.
Faith presupposes the revelation of God.
Tro, det förutsätter att Gud har uppenbart sig.
Now I ask you last night to believe real hard that I was 20 kilos less than I am.
Jag bad dig ju upp om att tro våldsamt hårt på att jag väger 20 kilo mindre än jag är.
Well, then the definition of faith is I believe it with all my heart even though I know it's not true.
Men då blir definitionen betyder att jag tror av hela mitt hjärta, själv om jag vet att det inte är sant.
And that's what some people think faith is.
Och det är det många tänker att det tro är.
How in the world would that be a positive thing?
Hur i världen skulle det vara något positivt?
Some people think that faith means that you don't know.
Och någon tänker det att tro betyder att du inte vet.
Like the Zürcher Zeitung says. Take advantage, have the advantage of believing less and knowing more, read the Zürcher Zeitung.
Zürcher Zeitung säger, fördelen med att tro mindre och veta mer, läs Zürcher Zeitung.
But believing means I hear the word of God.
Men att tro betyder att jag hör Guds ord.
And I believe him.
Och så tror jag han.
And believing him, I believe what he says.
Och när jag tror han så tror jag det han säger.
I like to think of my wife this way.
Jag likar att tänka på konan.
I said the other day, imagine my wife being unfaithful to me.
Jag sa häromdagen, föreställ dig att konan min skulle vara otrogen mot.
And this young man, 50 years old.
Och den unge mannen på 50.
You see, for me, young men, 50-year-olds are young men.
Så för mig så är en 50-åring en unge man.
He started laughing, and he laughed so hard as Maren does.
Han började att le, han lusade så rått som Maren.
The very thought of Peggy being unfaithful to me. I know, it's somehow possible.
Själva tanken på att Peggy ska vara utro mot mig, det är på en måte möjligt.
But I don't believe it.
Men jag tror inte det.
You see, she has proved to me for 43 years what kind of person she is.
I 43 år att du tror.
I trust her.
Jag stolar på henne.
I believe in her.
Jag tror på henne.
I can't imagine her telling me a lie.
Jag kan inte föreställa mig att du skulle lyga till mig.
And as God said that,
Och som Gud sa det.
Abraham without becoming weak in faith.
Så var det sånt att Abraham utan att bli svag i tro.
Gave glory to God, verse 21, being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform.
Så gav han Gud ära, vers 21, för han var överbevist om att det Gud hade lovat, det hade han också makt till att göra.
Now this may apply to somebody here tonight.
Och det kan hända att detta passar på någon här ikväll.
And coming to such a verse, I have to say this.
Och när jag kommer till sånt vers så må jag säga detta.
Every Catholic kid that I know can recite one verse of the Bible.
Alla katolska ungar jag känner kan citera ett vers ifrån Bibeln.
It is, and you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church.
Och det är du är Peter på denna klippa ska jag bygga min menighet.
They don't know where that is in the Bible, not even the priests know where that is in the Bible.
Det vet inte hur det står i Bibeln, inte ens de flesta präster vet hur det står i Bibeln.
And every Protestant child I know knows this verse.
Och alla protestanter som jag vet om vet.
For God has so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16.
Och så har Gud älskat världen att han gav sin enbarne son för att världen som tror på honom inte ska förtapas.
And wherever I travel, I can remember Split, Croatia.
Uansett hur resan, jag kan huska Split i Kroatien.
Ruston, Louisiana.
Ruston, Louisiana.
Salzburg, Austria.
I Salzburg, Österrike.
Munich, Germany.
I München, i Tyskland.
You'll drive down the street and on some wall somewhere you'll see.
Och så kör du ner en gata och på en eller annan väg, en eller annan plats, så vill du se.
John 3 double pump, colon 16.
Läser du Johannes 3 colon 16.
Now I have talked with many Catholic people.
Jag har snackat med många katoliker.
I've even been called in Italy, cacciatore di cattolici.
Jag har blivit kallad i Italien cacciatore di cattolici.
The Catholic hunter.
Katolik jäger.
Yeah, riktigt. Jäger, you say jäger. I like that. I'm a jäger. And I've talked to many Protestants.
Jag har snackat med många protestanter.
And I know I'm in a Protestant country now.
Och jag vet att jag är ett protestantiskt land nu.
I've spoken to so many people who know the words, John 3:16.
Jag har snackat med så många folk som känner orden i Johannes 3:16.
But as I began to ask diagnostic questions that would lead to a person confessing what they believe and why.
Men när jag började ställa diagnostiserande spörsmål så vill jag föra fram till svar på spörsmålet vad tror en person på och varför tror han på det?
More often than not, these people say the words of the gospel because Luther said them.
Så det sker det ofta än inte att dessa folk säger orden.
But they don't believe.
Men de tror inte på det.
Now keep that in mind, John 3:16.
Men har det i bakom, Johannes 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
För så har Gud älskat världen att han gav sin enbarne son för att världen som tror på honom inte ska förtapas men ha evigt liv.
And then come to this verse.
Och så kom till detta verset.
John 5:24.
Johannes 5:24.
He who hears my word, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you.
Sannolikt, sannolikt, säger jag det.
He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has presently eternal life.
Den som hör om ett ord och tror han som har sent mig, han har i nåtid evig liv.
He will not come into judgment.
Han kommer inte till dom.
He has already passed from death into life.
Men är gått över från döden till liv allerede.
What's that telling you?
Vad är det fortäller dig?
Justification is a point in time when you believe in Christ.
Att rättfärdiggörelsen är ett punkt i tiden när du tror på Kristus.
It's not a process beginning with baptism.
Det är inte en process som börjar med dopen.
And then you're christened like I was as a baby. It didn't change my life.
Så får du namn som säger det förändrar ingenting.
Austria is full of baptized babies who are sitting in the penitentiary right now.
Österrike är fullt av döpta ungar som sitter i fängelse akkurat nu.
Most people in jail in Austria have been baptized.
Mesteparten av de sitter i fängelse i Österrike.
I'm glad I'm baptized.
Jag är glad för att jag är döpt.
That didn't change my life.
Men det förändrar till livet mitt.
And then being deeper and deeper involved in the church and becoming more and more a Christian. It's not a process. If you've heard the gospel, you have to decide. Do I trust God or not? Is this true or not? And here's the gospel. If you will believe, you will not be lost. You'll have eternal life. If you believe His voice, you hear His voice, you believe in Him who sent Him, you will have right now eternal life. Just His faith, will, your faith will be reckoned as righteousness. You will never come into judgment. You've already passed from death into life. I ask my religious friends, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Oh, I couldn't know that.
No.
They think of life as a time with a big final examination at the end. If they live good enough, then at the very end they will know if they're going to heaven or hell. So what does that mean? I get saved by living good enough. No. Whoever believes in me, now one final verse. You can write this one down. I notice some of you aren't writing anything. The weakest ink is stronger than the strongest memory. Okay?
Svakaste blick är starkare än det starkaste hukommelse.
Write this one down.
Skriv detta ner.
1 John chapter 5 verses 11 through 13. These things I have written to you, verse 13, that you might know that you have eternal life.
Detta har jag skrivit till er, vers 13, för att er ska veta att er har evig liv.
You who believe in the name of the Son of God.
Det som tror på Guds sons namn.
Not hope that you have eternal life.
Inte hoppa att du har evig liv.
No, if you believe, you can know you have eternal life.
Nej, hvis du tror, så kan du veta att du har evig.
But you say, if I knew I had eternal life, then maybe I would be pretty lax about my life.
Men det säger du, hvis jag visste att jag har evig liv, så kommer jag inte bli slöven av det allt livet.
Well, maybe you can.
Ja, kanske du kan det.
You'll regret it.
Du kommer att angra på det.
Think about your children, please.
Tänk, vad ska du tänka på ungarna dina?
Should they know that you love them?
Borde de veta att du älskar dem?
I remember when my son Joshua was a little bitty guy.
Jag huskar när min son Joshua var en liten gutt.
It was an August day.
Det var en augustdag.
It was hot and I was working in the attic. My office was on the top floor.
Det var varmt och jag arbetade uppe på loftet. Jag hade kontor där uppe.
And I'm trying to study.
Och jag prövde att studera.
And he's on his tricycle.
Och han körde trihjulscykel.
He's driving up and down the street.
Och körde cyklar upp och ner gator.
But you see, it needed to be oiled. So I went squeak, 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 squeak.
Men den trång olja. Det kom kvinnelyder hela tiden.
Man, I wanted to. I can't concentrate. Squeak, 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 squeak. So I look out the window. Joshua!
Så såg jag ut klassen.
What, daddy?
Joshua, kom pappa.
I love you, little character.
Glad I
dig. I go back to my desk.
Så går tillbaka till pool.
Squeak, 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 squeak.
Lydarna fortsatte på cykeln.
Squeak, squeak, squeak,
squeak, squeak, squeak.
Joshua! What, daddy?
Call papa?
I love you, you little character. You're a mess. I love you to death, you little character. What do you think? You want to go for a drive? Daddy, I'll go for a drive, yeah.
Yeah.
So we get in the car. Okay, we're driving. Yeah. And I'm in a curve, and I almost had a wreck. Because out of the back seat comes this little voice. Daddy, you want to know what I want to do when I'm big and old like you? I think I was 26. No, I'd be 30 years old. 30 years old. Big and old like you. No, what, Joshua? I want to be a believing hunter. And I want to obey God and preach the gospel. I almost had a wreck. Did you hear the connection? I love you. Daddy, I want to be like you. Isn't it healthy? Do you expect less of God than you expect of me? He wants you to know that you have eternal life. Not hope after you've lived a good life. Not be a little bit better in case it doesn't work out. He says, I've written this that you might know that you have eternal life, you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, verse 11 tells us the gospel in a nutshell, okay? He says, here, if we believe the testimony, the solemn testimony of men,
han säger att hvis vi tror det alvorliga vittnesbördet som människor ger.
Before a court of law, a man sworn in. You have to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I en rättssal, när en man har avlagt ed, så må du låta tvivlen komma till talet till god.
If we believe the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater.
Hvis vi tror på vittnesbördet till människor, så må du i alla fall tro.
And this is the testimony which he has given us concerning his son.
Och detta är det vittnesbördet han har gett oss angående sin son.
That God has given us eternal life.
Att det Gud har gett oss evigt liv.
And this life is in his son.
Och detta livet är i hans son.
He who has the son has the life.
Den som har sonen har livet.
And he who does not have the son does not have the life.
Och den som icke har Guds son har icke livet.
Let me illustrate that.
Låt mig illustrera det.
This illustrates the son.
Detta illustrerar sonen.
And this illustrates the life.
Och dessa bredden illustreras.
That God has given us eternal life.
Och Gud har gett oss evigt liv.
And this life is in his son.
Och detta liv är i hans son, och dessa bredden i Bibeln.
He who has the son has the life.
Han som har
I just lost my salvation. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. In the following verse, this I write to you that you may know for certain that you have eternal life, you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you know for sure you're a believer? Or you have eternal life? If you don't know you're sure, for sure, you're probably not a believer. Because that's almost part of becoming a believer, trusting God that what he says about eternal life is true in your case.
For det är mest en del av det att bli en troende.
But what if you don't believe him?
Om frälse är sant i ditt tillfälle.
What if you don't believe him?
Kan du inte tro?
John goes on to say, then if you don't believe his testimony, you're calling him a liar.
Fortsätter Johannes, att hvis du ikke tror på det han säger, hans vittnesbörd, så kallar du han en lögner.
Now Raymond has rented a car, but let's say we're here and Håkan says, I'll pick you up at 5:00 in the morning for your 7:30 flight.
Raymond har lekt en bil här, men tar oss anta att Håkan har sagt att jag ska plocka dig upp 5:30 för flyget går 7:00.
So I'm worried, you know, he's going to pick me up at 5:00 in the morning. So I call him at 10:00 in the night and leave, says, well, hello, Fred. Let me talk to Håkan. You're going to pick me up at 5:00 in the morning? Yeah, I'll pick you up at 5:00. I told you that. Okay, just wanted to be sure. 11:00. Håkan, you can pick me up at 5:00. Fred, I said I was going to pick you up. It's 11:00. 1:00 in the morning. Fred, Håkan, you can pick me up at 5:00 in the morning? He said, man, leave me alone. I promised you. 4:00 in the morning. Håkan, you going to pick me up at 5:00 in the morning? He says, Fred, believe me, I'll pick you up at 5:00 in the morning. So, 4:45. I call the taxi.
Så ringer jeg taxien.
5 o'clock, Håkon arrives.
Klokka fem, kommer Håkon.
And says, Frode, where's Fred?
Så Frode, går Fred?
Oh, he took a taxi.
Han tog drosje.
Now think about how Håkon feels.
Tänk på hur Håkon føles.
I don't trust him.
Jeg stoler ikke på
han. I don't believe in him.
Jeg tror ikke på han.
I've just made him a liar.
Jeg har akkurat gjort han til en løgner.
And so if there's anyone here tonight,
så hvis det noen som her I kveld,
who needs this side of the message,
så trenger den delen av budskapet.
In space and time, there was a moment that Abraham believed God.
I tid og rom så var det et øyeblikk der Abraham trodde Gud.
And without works,
og uten gjerninger,
God reckoned him his believing
så rekna Gud det at han trodde
as righteousness.
Som rettferdighet.
You see, if we did it through works,
for hvis det var gjennom gjerninger,
we could boast,
så kunne vi skryte av det.
I did it.
Jeg gjorde det.
Faith gives all the glory to God.
Men tro gir hele ære til Gud.
He did for me what I couldn't not ever do for myself.
Han gjorde for meg det jeg aldri noen gang kunne gjort for meg selv.
But Abraham goes on to say, okay, I believe you.
Men Abraham fortsetter å si, okay, jeg tror deg.
But his faith was not exactly, he wasn't exactly George Mueller either.
Men troen hans var ikke akkurat en Georg Müller heller.
Not yet.
Ikke ennå.
He says, verse 8, oh Lord, how may I know that I may possess it? He believes it, but he's not. I gotta know how this is gonna happen.
Vers 8 så sier han, men hvordan skal jeg vite dette her? Han tror det, men hvordan skal det skje?
So Abraham says, you bring me some animals here. You have all kinds of animals. Bring me a 3-year-old heifer.
Så sier han, hent meg en 3-års kviger.
A 3-year-old female goat.
A 3-års geit.
A 3-year-old ram.
En 3-års vær.
A turtle dove and a young pigeon. Now don't try to make any kind of spiritual lesson out of the number 3, please. Okay. 3 times 3 times 3 is 27, all right? Or 3 times 3 is half of 666 or anything like that. But all these 3-year-old animals, he takes them and he cuts them right down the middle.
Men alle disse 3 år gamle dyrene tar han, og så deler han de I to.
And he takes these sacrificial animals, and he puts one side here, and one side here.
Så tar han disse offerdyrene.
One side here, one of the goat, one side here. There's the heifer, left and right. The goat, left and right.
Så tar han kviger, venstre del ned, høyre del ned.
And the ram, left
veren,
and right.
Venstre, høyre.
But what was he going to do with the birds?
Hva skal gjøre med fuglene?
He just left them down there dead.
Men han lot de ligge der du.
And he waited.
Og så ventet han.
And it got dark.
Og så ble det mørkt.
I mean, it got real dark.
Det ble skikkelig mørkt.
And the birds of prey came down upon the sacrifices, and he had to chase them away.
Rovfuglene kom ned og slo ned på offerdyrene, han måtte jage dem.
And sort of a fear came upon him, and he was paralyzed.
Og så kom det frykt.
Half awake and half paralyzed and half asleep, paralyzed for fear.
Så var han lamme av frykt, halvt vaken og halvt sovende.
And then there came a torch.
Og så kom det en fakkel.
And a fiery oven.
Og en ildovn.
And they passed between the parts of the covenant sacrifice.
Og så gikk de gjennom middeldelen av offerdyret.
There are two types, at least two types of covenants.
Det minst to typer pakter.
There's a one-party covenant.
Det en enparts.
For example, a year ago, a lawyer read to me a one-party covenant.
For et år siden, for eksempel, så leste en advokat for meg en enpart.
The last will and testament of my father.
Det var testamentet, den siste viljen til far min.
I didn't have to fulfill anything.
Jeg måtte ikke oppfylle noen ting som helst.
He made the covenant.
Han gjorde pakten.
Another covenant.
En annen pakt.
Contract would be a two-party covenant.
En kontrakt kan være en tosidig.
You're an architect.
Du en arkitekt.
You want to build me a house according to these specifications.
Bygge et hus til meg etter disse spesifikasjonene.
For 400,000 euros.
For 400,000 euro.
You can't say later, 600,000.
Du kan ikke komme senere og si 600,000.
Say 400,000.
400,000.
I do my part, I pay you 400,000. You do your part, you build the house.
Jeg gir min del, betaler 400,000.
That's a two-party covenant.
Du gir din del, du bygger huset.
Now notice this is a one-party covenant.
Men dette her en ensidig.
Abraham, how will I know that you're going to do that, Lord?
Abraham spør, hvordan skal jeg vite at du kommer til å gjøre dette, Herre?
Abraham paralyzed.
Abraham lammet.
He can't do anything.
Han kan ikke gjøre noen ting.
And God alone passes through the covenant sacrifice. And he said, verse 18, as he made the covenant, your descendants I have given this land from the great river as far as the river Euphrates. I'm going to do that. No matter what you do. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an unconditional covenant. Many Christians believe that there is no future for the people of God Israel. Well, let me be exact. They are not his people. That's what he said. Lo ami, you're not my people. You're sort of looking at me skeptically. No, but they will be the people of God. When they repent again. At present, they're not his people. But to the descendants of Abraham. And we're talking now about literal physical descendants from his body. The text says, one day they will literally inherit a major portion of the Middle East. All right. That is what's happened in the future. But what happened in Abraham's future was this. God says, verse 13, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 100 years.
Dette skal du vite, etten de skal bo som innflytter i et land som ikke er deres, de skal være slaver og bli plaget av folket der i 400 år.
But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and after they will come out with many possessions.
Men det folket de må slave for vil jeg også dømme, og deretter skal de dra ut med stort bytte.
Verse 16, in the fourth generation after your death, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete.
Vers 16, i det fjerde slektsleddet skal de vende tilbake hit, for amorittenes syndeskyld har ennå ikke fulgt sitt mål.
Now a moral question.
Et moralsk spørsmål.
Why didn't God just give Abraham the land?
Hvorfor gav ikke Gud bare Abraham landet?
Because other people were living there.
For det var andre som bodde der.
They were all kind. They were in possession of the land. They were their houses that they had built.
Det var deres hus som de hadde bygd.
And their fields that they had plowed.
Og deres marker som de hadde pløtt.
And their vineyards that they have cultivated.
Og deres vingård som de hadde kultivert.
God's not going to just start some kind of an ethnic cleansing to give Abraham and his family a place to live.
Og Gud kommer ikke til å starte en eller annen form for etnisk rensing bare for å gi Abraham og hans familie en plass å bo.
That would be immoral.
Det ville være umoralt.
You see, this is the land, he says, the land of the Kenite, verse 19, the Kenizzite, the Kadamite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Rephidim, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Geshurite, and the Jebusite. And you don't need to read that.
For i vers 19 så sier han alle disse nasjonene.
You know what that sounds like?
Vet du hva det høres ut som?
It sounds like a list of sicknesses in a pathology book. But those were real people. They had worked hard for their possessions. You just can't take their possessions.
Det var virkelige folk som hadde jobbet hardt for eiendelen sin. Du kan ikke bare ta dem fra dem.
But Israel would go away and be in Egypt for 400 years and multiply like rabbits.
Men Israel skulle reise ned til Egypt og bo der i 400 år og formere seg som kaniner.
There'd be so many of them.
Det ville være så mange av dem.
The Egyptians would say, what are we going to do with all these foreigners, man?
At Egypterne ville si, hva skal vi gjøre med disse utlendingene?
You know, they had an extreme right party too.
For de hadde et ganske sterkt høyre parti også.
And we're going to do with all these people.
Hva skal vi gjøre med alle?
And God was building a little family into a nation.
Og her bygde Gud en liten familie om til en nasjon.
And while God was building a people for himself.
Og mens Gud hadde bygd et folk for seg selv.
Those people in that land where there, you know, some Sodomites and Gomorrahites.
Der bodde i dette landet der bodde sodomitter og gomoritter.
God had to take care of them pretty quick.
Gud måtte ta seg av dem ganske fort.
Just like a surgeon has to cut out a cancerous tumor out of your body.
Som en kirurg må skjære vekk en kreftsvulst i kroppen din.
To save your body from the terrible influence of this growth eating its way into your life.
For å beskytte kroppen din, berge kroppen din for denne her tingen som eter seg inn i kroppen din.
But in the course of 400 years,
men i løpet av 400 år,
wickedness would increase among the peoples of Canaan.
Så kom ondskapen til å øke iblant folkene i Kanaan.
They would heat up a god. He was an oven of a god, you see. He'd heat him up.
Og de ville varme opp en gud som var en oven av en gud.
Until his hands were white hot.
Til hendene hans var kvitglødende.
And then they would take their babies and put them in the hands of the god.
Så ville de ta babyene sine og legge dem i hendene.
Sort of a strange way of abortion, isn't it? Abortion to the glory of their God. Sexual perversion became the order of the day.
Sexual perversion ble dagligdags.
Terrible violence.
Fryktelige vold.
Even the fiber of heathen society disintegrated and unraveled.
Det grundläggande i det hedniska samhället.
And so we read that the iniquity of the Ammonite would be made full.
Så läser man att amoritternas syndeskuld skulle bli
sort of like a barrel, a rain barrel full of water and water brimming over and running over the barrel.
Som en
wickedness.
En regntunna som blir full med vatten och det rinner över kanten, ondskap.
So one day,
så en dag,
Joshua would do something Moses couldn't do.
Så kom Josua att göra något som Moses inte kunde göra.
He would lead the people of God.
Han skulle komme til å lede Guds folk.
Over the last barrier separating the army of Israel from the wicked heathen nations.
Over den siste barrieren så skilte Guds folk fra de ondskapsfulle hedenske nasjonene.
They were hiding behind a great natural barrier.
De gjemte seg bak en stor nasjonal barriere.
It was the Jordan at flood stage, way over its banks.
Det var Jordan i regntid, seg langt over sine bredder.
There's no way Israel could attack us now.
Det var ingen måte Israel kunne angripe.
They're hiding behind great city walls.
Og de gjemte seg bak store bymurer.
To protect them from the Israelite attack.
For å beskytte dem mot det israelitiske angrepet.
When all of a sudden, the people of God standing over 1 kilometer away from the river bank.
Når plutselig Guds folk står over 1 kilometer fra elvebredden.
See the Levites and the high priest leave the crowd, and all the eyes could see them. They were a kilometer away as they approach the waters of the Jordan River.
Så ser de levitterne og prestene bevega seg imot Jordan elva. Alle kunne se dem.
And they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant.
Og så bar de paktens ark.
It's called the throne of God.
Som blir kalt Guds trone.
It's the place on earth where God presented himself, although all of heaven can't contain him.
Det er den plassen på jorden der Gud presenterer seg selv, selv om ikke himmelen kan romme han.
Men carrying the very throne of God.
Men som bar Guds trone.
And God himself went down into the water.
Og Gud selv gikk ned i vattnet.
And the water separated and began to back up on the north side of the priest.
Og vattnet delte seg og begynte å bevege seg oppover på nordsiden av prestene.
And as the waters rose,
og når vattnet steg,
the priest stood with God himself on his throne in the middle of that river, and all of the army passed through.
Så stod ble prestene stående med Gud selv på tronen midt i den elven, og herrene gikk igjennom.
There is no barrier to keep God out of this world.
Det er ingen barriere som kan holde Gud ut av denne verden.
No natural barrier.
Ingen naturlige barriere.
No artificial barrier, no wall.
Ingen kunstige barriere, ingen mur.
And the Lord passed through the waters.
Och Herren gick genom vattnen.
It was almost like baptism, wasn't it?
Det var nästan som dopen, var det inte?
Because the Ark of the Covenant went down into the water.
För pakts just gick ner I vattnet.
And it came up on the other side.
Och kom upp på den andra sidan.
The people of Israel, so to speak, baptized.
Israels folk på en måte döpt.
What does baptism mean?
Vad betyder dop egentligen?
It means that I'm worthy of death.
Det betyder att jag är värdig I döden.
But I seek my death. I see my death in the death of Christ.
Men jag ser min död I Kristi död.
And so I'm baptized into his death.
Så jag blir döpt till hans död.
And they took big stones, you know, one for every tribe. And they put 12 stones down into the river as a memorial of passing through. That's where God stood, man.
Store stenar, en for hver stamme, så la de dem ned I bånd på elve. Det var der Gud stod, som et minnesmerk.
And 12 stones up on the western shore.
Og 12 stenar på vestbredden.
And the kids would ask in the generations, you know, Dad, what's it down there in the river, man? My hook keeps getting caught down there.
Ungarna kom till spöra I generationen så kom pappa kedet där I elva där trofiskarna hänger sig fast hela tiden.
Or Dad, were these big stone pile for? What does that mean?
Pappa kedet så här stora stenarna så.
That commemorates us coming into our inheritance.
Jo, det är ett minnesmärk om att vi kom in I vår arv.
Good, that's great. And then right after that, they got themselves circumcised. Can you imagine all the big plastic sacks?
Kan du föreställa dig alla plastik
säcken? You know, all that skin and
allt det skinnet.
Circumcised. Why did they do that?
Varför gjorde de det?
You see, they had come as God's executives. They had come to judge those tribes.
Jo, de var kommit som Guds representanter för att döma dessa stammar.
You better judge yourself before you judge someone else.
And the best that you dømmer deg selv for å dømme noen andre.
Judgment begins at the house of God.
Dommen begynner med Guds hus.
People who judge themselves.
Folk som dømmer seg selv.
And then, this guy, all out of a sudden, he's standing there with a sword.
Så står plutselig denne mannen her med et sverd.
And you know, Joshua begins to grab his sword, and he, you know, he's trying to get it out. And he says, "Hey, which side are you on? You know, our side or the other side?" And that big old guy said, "I didn't come to take sides. I came to take over."
Så säger han, stora karlen, att de kom inte för att ta sida för någon, de kom för att ta över.
You see, I am the commander of the host of the Lord.
För jag är kommandören över Herren sin herre.
No, this was not ethnic cleansing.
För detta var inte etnisk rensning.
This is God who waited for 400 years.
Det är Gud som väntade I 400 år.
And let people have a chance to make a choice.
Och låt folk få en chans till.
If they wanted to really live this way and pass this on to their children or not.
Om de verkligen vill leva som så detta och föra detta vidare till ungarna sina eller inte.
The Lord is not slow coming, as some would think that he's tarrying.
Herren dröjer inte med sitt komma som så någon tänker.
No, Peter says he's waiting to come.
Nej, säger Peter, han väntar med att komma.
So as many as possible would come to see the truth and be saved.
Så att så många som möjligt kan komma till se sanningen och bli frälsta.
Yes, Abraham, you're going to have this land. Your people are going to have it, but not yet.
Ja, Abraham.
I'm not going to take other people's land and give it to you. I'm not that kind of God. Makes you wonder about what's happening in Israel today. No, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. Allow you guys to become a nation. And I'm giving these guys another chance. For 400 years.
Så ger jag dessa här en ny chans I 400 år.
But then you're going to come.
Men så kommer du att komma.
And when you come.
Och när du kommer.
You're going to judge these people.
Så ska du döma dessa folk.
You know, one of these days, God's going to cross that great river.
En av dessa dagarna, vet du, så kommer Gud till.
And he's going to come into our world.
Och kryssa den stora älven och komma in I den vår.
And he's going to judge the nations, isn't he?
Och så kommer han att döma nationen.
And what does Paul say about him when he comes?
Och vad säger Paulus om han kommer?
He will reveal himself. He will be revealed coming with his saints.
Johan ska uppenbara sig komma med sina heliga.
There'll be silence in heaven.
Det blir tystnad i himlen.
One by the guy told me, he said, you know, it's here in Revelation says there'll be silence in heaven for a half an hour. That proves there's not going to be any women up there. That's a silly way to read the Bible. You think about the silence. And you think about our world. Jericho trying to keep God out. You can't come in here.
Du kommer ikke inn her.
And every day, in total silence,
i fullstendig stillhet,
the army of God marches around the city. Oh, what suspense! What drama!
Så marscherer Guds hær rundt byen. For en spenning, for et drama.
Not a whispered word.
Ikke et ord ble kviskret.
The saints. And the ark of the Lord, God himself encircling the city for 7 days.
Och paktens ark, Gud själv omringar byn.
And you know what's the next verse in Revelation after the silence in heaven?
Vet du vad nästa vers i Uppenbarelsen?
It talks about what?
Vad står det om då?
7 trumpets.
7 basuner.
And here they are.
Och här är de.
Encircling the city with their ram horns.
De omringar byen med bockahornen sina.
Whatever you, ram horn sounds like. And the inhabitants of the city.
Och inbyggarna i byen.
Hearing.
Höra.
The judgment of God being signaled until on the last day.
Att Guds dom blir signaliserat.
When they blew in those trumpets,
all
of the defenses of this world break down.
Så smuldrar alla försvarsverken i denna världen ner.
My brothers and sisters, there's no way to keep God out of this world.
Mina bröder och systrar, det är ingen måte heller.
You can try to push him out with revelation, with evolution.
Vi kan prova skubba honom ut med evolution.
You can vote him out of the schools like we have in America.
Du kan stämma honom ut av skolorna som har gjort i Amerika.
You don't call it Christmas anymore, it's the winter holiday.
Du kan kalla det inte jul längre, du kallar det vinterhögtid.
You can't have the Ten Commandments in the classroom.
Du kan inte ha de 10 bud i klassrummen.
You can't even have a cross in a Christian school.
Du kan inte ha ett kors i en kristen skola.
God is exiled from the university.
Gud är utvist av universitetet.
The world is desperately trying to keep God out.
Världen prövar desperat att hålla Gud ute.
I'm telling you, the Lord of all the earth is coming.
Men jag fortæller dig att all jordens herre kommer.
And we'll come with him.
Och vi kommer att komma i lag med honom.
After we've judged ourselves.
Efter vi har dömt oss själv.
He'll take us to glory.
Så tar han oss till härlighet.
And then in due time.
Och så i sin tid.
We will come with him.
Så kommer vi att komma med honom.
He won't be riding a donkey next time.
Han kommer ikke til å ri på et esel neste gang.
He will be clothed for battle.
Han kommer til å være kledd til krig.
My heart overflows with a good theme.
Hjertet mitt flyter over av gode ord.
I address my verse to the king.
Min tale gjelder en konge.
My tongue is the pen of a ready writer.
Og tungen min er en hurtig skriver som griffel.
Thou art fairer than the sons of men.
Du er vakrere enn menneskens barn.
Grace is poured out upon thy lips.
Nåde utømt på dine lepper.
Therefore God has blessed thee forever.
Og derfor har Gud velsignet deg.
Gird thy sword on thy thigh, O mighty one.
Bind sverdet ditt på siden din, allmektig.
In thy splendor and thy majesty.
I din makt og din majestet.
And in your majesty ride on victoriously.
Og dra ut med seier i din majestet.
For the cause of truth.
For sannhet.
And meekness.
Mildhet.
And righteousness.
Og rett.
Isn't it interesting when you read the Old Testament?
Är det intressant när du läser det gamla testamentet?
There's this fulfillment in space and time.
Det är en uppfyllelse i rum och tid.
And that becomes a prototype, sort of a almost a metaphor of a greater fulfillment in the future.
Och så blir det en prototyp eller en metafor av en större uppfyllelse i framtiden.
So we talked about prophecy, people, and it's been fulfilled.
Och vi snackade om profeti, folkens, så det är blivit uppfyllt.
Over 2,300 years ago.
För över 2,300 år sedan.
But you know, prophecy has a way of fulfilling itself again, doesn't it?
Men profeti har en tendens till att bli gå i uppfyllelse en gång till.
So thank you again for your patience with this old man.
Men tack för tålmodigheten igen
again
för med den gamla mannen.
Tomorrow we will do 16 and 17. 21 and 22.
I morgon ska vi
köra
på kapitel 16 och 17.
In an overview.
21, 22 och 24.